afternoon, my listeners. Welcome to the podcast For All We Know. I am your host, Cheetah Black, and many professions have I. Some as a professional dancer, a singer, model, and a preschool teacher, and still a foster parent with my husband for 26 years. I have traveled and performed professionally in many different cultures and countries, learning much of those different cultures. Our guest today is a specialist of many different fields. And the information that we also offer is our individual experiences that myself and my guests wish to share with our listeners, hoping to give help, hope, and healing in ways that may be needed. Today, I would like to welcome you to our guest, a Miss Sandra McKechnie. She is a lady of a multi-talented background. She is very international. She is from Canada. Miss McKechnie will be speaking on a number of topics. Our presentation today will be on international songstress, as she is. She is a public speaker, an activist, and a fighter for humanity. Her creation of the awareness portfolio, Double Consciousness, and that's double with two B's, D-O-U-B-B-L-E, Consciousness, offers to give awareness in her portfolio for us. Ms. McKechnie, I would love to welcome you today, and thank you so very much for being a part of our show.
Pleasure. Absolute pleasure. I've been looking forward to it.
Thank you. Thank you. My first question and interest for myself and my listeners would be, what prompted you to become an entertainer, a songstress?
Oh, wow. Years ago, I was grade 11 or 10 or something like this. Anyway, I always was singing. I always loved singing, but I took a part in a play called Bye Bye Birdie. It's an old play. I forget who the actor was in that one. But yeah. Anyway, I took a part in that and the part of the musical part of it. And then I also, there was a play called Ice Castles. And there was a song in there by Melissa Manchester. Please, you know that one, please don't let this feeling end. It might not come again.
Nice.
And I sung it for this particular play. And I things just started to change. And then somebody called me up to do something in the Caravana. And at that time I was pretty young, so I really wasn't allowed to. And I was a little shy and, you know, that sort of thing. I was headstrong at the time. I was just shy to really go out there and do it, you know.
Yeah.
But it just, one thing led to the other, and it has really been a part of my life. And then I started to do a lot of gospel and travel and some TV, and yeah, really just enjoyed that a lot, you know. I'm still now, I'm just sort of getting back on that bandwagon for my own life and making sure that the I'm responsible for these talents, so I'm trying to use them and not make excuses, you know. I was inspired to just, it just seemed to have been a part of me for a very long time.
It's a wonderful thing to be able to give to an audience, as well as to give to yourself your own physical and emotional expressions through the arts. And singing is one of those great arts. And it helps us. It's good to not give up on it. Sometimes we have to walk away from it. But if you know that is a part of your calling in life, it's like you're not giving the Almighty who gave you that talent to function with it and to give it. So it is very important to be able to continue that, especially if it's your love, if you love doing it. Let me ask you, what were some of the styles that you used in your singing?
First of all, I want to say how you inspired me, because I've seen a bit of your work and I'm like, wow, you know.
Thank you.
Thank you. I am inspired.
And it really, so you know what you're talking about when you say, you know, you might put it away or you might pause or you might, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
You have to pick it back up if you're called to do it, you know?
Right. It is.
So what was your question again? I was just thinking of you and thinking how, you know, you certainly are an inspiration for so many of us. You asked me something. What was it again?
That is so
my styles, the style of music, right?
Yes, your style.
Well, gospel is it. I loved gospel. I loved the message. A lot of it. I've got away from some of that because there's a lot of ways my eyes have opened to different things in my understanding. I still love the beautiful message that it brings fundamentally, but also the style, the blues and the jazz, and really and truly what brown and black people perpetuated through the years, you know, a lot of this beautiful music. So that is definitely my heartbeat. And I'll tell you, people call me, sometimes they call me Tina Turner because my influences, you know, when you're assimilated up in here, you sing a lot of different things.
Yes, exactly. And it's not of your choice. It's a matter of being there and having to adjust and adapt.
Absolutely.
Which can give you many talents also, you know, which
for sure.
Basically, as the term goes, you bloom where you're planted, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, we can use the assimilation process to our benefit, you know.
Exactly. I also understand that you are and have been and still are an activist and for people of color because of our backgrounds in Canada, well, throughout the world, really. Mm-hmm. And how that has affected us worldwide as people of color, and how it has damaged who we are. We basically not knowing who we are because of the term double consciousness and the duality of trying to assimilate, have lost who we are. Am I accurate in that statement?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's like that Star Trek show. What was it? I forget. And they were said to assimilate. The resistance is futile. You know? It has been for a very, very long time.
It really has been. And it's very frustrating. And it's beyond frustrating because underneath you may know and feel what you need to do and think and feel. But then you have to walk outside of your door. And you have to be encountered. You have to encounter those, the assimilators. And
absolutely. I'm sorry, I'm cutting you.
No, you
I'm
go
all
right
excited.
Ahead. Go right ahead. Take your excitement and go with it.
Oh, you're great. And you just jump in because we were speaking the other night and I was so nice. You warmed me up and it was lovely just having that time to share with you on the phone. Thank you for that. That was really great.
Yes. Thank you.
So I always think to myself, you know, I'm one of the people that really woke me up. Bing! You know, it's like the alarm went off and I looked at my watch and said, oh my goodness, you know, so much to do and so little time, you know.
So little time. Mm-hmm.
And the activist part, I always get scared of that word. People call me it. Don't call myself it. But, you know, I mean, words are great. You know, you're out here, you're doing this work. People are going to call you activist. That's fine. Right. But I always just for my own self, keep myself humble. I think I say I'm just sharing what I've found out. And I one of the major things I want to do is take blame and shame off of people of color, black people. Sorry about the bywords. I hope people don't mind. I never know where we're going, which one we're using.
Yeah.
But that's one of my main things is to try and take blame and shame, self-hate. You know, as everybody, there's so many of us that are doing this work. And I am so amazed at how this has changed my life. And one of the challenges, I think, is that in this time warp, if you will. So I always do this in the forums. Say we're in the 21st century. Let's go back 21, 20, 19, 18, 17. Yeah. For all intents and purposes, we're in the cusp of slavery, say. Apartheid's come in. And then you have, of course, the sub-Saharan trade thousands of years before that and so on. Mm-hmm. But we weren't there by ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. We were there and there was another group. If you look to your right, you see the other group, you know, and they don't look like us. And they're also in the time warp. They also came back 21, 20, 19, 18, 17.
Yes.
So let's go back with that group because we did go back together.
Yes. Yes.
17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Here we are in the 21st century. I'm looking at them and they're high-fiving me. Why don't we all just get along? you know, yeah. in the words of our brother Rodney King. And that's great. But over there, you've brought something back. You've brought something back. Let's call it cognitive dissonance. You've mm-hmm. brought a denial back.
Yes.
Because your cover is that, oh, well, I wasn't there.
Yes.
Yes, but it's in your DNA. It's in right. your epigenetic self. You brought it with you.
Yes. Right.
And I know it's difficult to face it, but that can't be my problem. I can yeah. only share with you that you do have cognitive dissonance because your forefathers were able to look up on a tree and have drinks and food while people, my people, you know, they were hanging from a tree, strange
right.
fruit.
Yes.
And you're
yes.
not able to accept that somehow in your lineage, this was taught to you,
right.
whether it was overt or not. You picked up this implicit racial bias that you have
right.
today, right?
right?
And if I picked it up against my own people because I'm double conscious.
Yeah, yes, you know, yes, yes, exactly.
What say about you, the assimilator's yes. offspring?
Yes, exactly.
So this is this double consciousness, of course, may I say, and give credit to W.E.B. Du Bois. Mm-hmm. And apparently I know people are going to say Dubois, but apparently he pushed that aside, Gaelic French meaning of it. He did not want that name. So it was Du Bois. So that's mm-hmm. what I say. So, no problem. I'm grateful for what he has done. It broke me when I understood that concept. It broke me because, Charlotte, what it did was give me, you know, even now I'm getting goosebumps because, you know, you go back and speak about it and you realize, I married white and I was a white woman walking around with a black woman walking around with white face in my home.
Exactly.
And when I really took a look at what W.E.B. Du Bois is saying, it broke me and the alarm went off and I thought, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in my life, I felt like I was where I was supposed to be in the pain that I was in, finding out that I had post-traumatic slave syndrome, according to Dr. Right. Joy DeGruy. I dropped these names because we didn't get here all by ourselves. There's some people that have been doing a lot of hard work to get
yes.
us here.
Right.
And Dr. Joy DeGruy is one of them. And certainly W.E.B. Du Bois. And we can criticize people for certain things that they do. You know, everybody has things against
right.
Marcus Garvey and different people say they should have done this, they should have done that. But oh my goodness, their hands were in the work. No matter what it looks like to us now, we wouldn't be here if it were for them. So
right.
it's really important, you know. So I between W.E.B. Du Bois and this lovely lady, Dr. Joy DeGruy, I was broken. I was broken. First time in my life again, I felt that I was where I was supposed to be and that I was not where I was supposed to be.
Yeah. It's,
go ahead. No, you go ahead there.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I'm sure many of my listeners do too, because we don't realize the impact of what we have been living through for hundreds of years. And we don't, many times we figure that even with the assimilators saying, well, I wasn't there, I'm not this way, I'm not that way, you are still a part of it because you don't open up to make a change with it. And yeah. you can see what is going on, but whether it's out of fear, ignorance, or, hey, it doesn't happen to me, there's no participation in your saying, well, we need to stop this. This is not what our country's supposed to be about. But two, as our own people, we're so accustomed to accepting that. Accepting
Absolutely.
Whatever is thrown as yes, what is thrown at us, that we will assimilate, even with the assimilated race, white going into marrying, having children by whites.
Absolutely.
You know, and even then can hate yourself. You can dislike
Absolutely.
Yourself.
Absolutely.
For doing it.
Absolutely.
Because you're
Absolutely.
hating all of these other people, and yet you find yourself.
Oh, boy.
You have been accepted. You have accepted part of what they are through physical, mental, or emotional or romantic manners, you know? So it becomes a very stressful point in our lives and my life and many other of our people who have had relationships with white men or white women.
Absolutely.
And still not able to understand I don't have to be like you want me to be. I can appreciate you as that person, but damn, I've got to look at me and see who I am as well.
Thank you, Father.
But that is something that, as a race of people, we have been so damaged.
Yes,
go ahead. We have been so damaged.
I'm jumping in. I always think part of double consciousness is to during and near the end, we all come together and say, okay, let's repeat. It is not my fault, but I choose to do something about it. Yeah. And in my life, because people would say just horrible things to me, that if I was really woke, I would be so insulted. But when you're sleeping, there's a part of you that get it. You know, it's a part of you that at night, you know, you might be literally sleeping. Say you're asleep, but you're sleeping, but you hear a little noise, but you're still sleeping. And this is sort of what it's like to be asleep. And I always say, you know, consciousness is hard work. Mm. It's not about putting on a dashiki and going to your local Afrofest.
No.
And that's good too, because that looks nice. And you're going to have a nice time and you're going to buy your products.
It's beautiful.
But it's a lot of hard work where you get up and you'll say whatever your name. I'll say, yes, my name is Sandra McKechnie and I am challenged with double consciousness.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
In my life, I'll give you a couple of examples if I may.
Go right ahead.
There's this thing in us. I from the time I got here when I was little and they put me in grade 3, if I could speak for that little Sandra years ago, you know, I get emotional in my mind because I'm thinking, wow. Every time I do double consciousness, this is our 29th time coming up on Zoom next week.
Oh.
And I'll tell you.
Congratulations.
Yes. And I love doing it because I'm sharing it's easy for me to do it because I'm sharing what's real to me and it resonates with the audience. And that's why the reviews come and people are like, oh my gosh, I am broken.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's fine because the pieces can get back together in the right way. So we talk about deconstruction and reconstruction and that's a great thing.
Mm.
So, but first we got to look at the ugliness, you know, I remember watching a movie, you know, that movie, what was it called? Ghost?
Oh, yes.
Patrick Swayze and what was the other? Of course, Whoopi Goldberg. She got an award for that.
Whoopi Goldberg, yes.
Right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I was with a friend of mine and we were very close. We broke bread together, good friend. Mm. And, you know, he was there watching this movie with me, White.
Mm-hmm.
And that part came on. There's a part in the movie is kind of, you know, this place where Whoopi was the entity for which Patrick Swayze was going through to connect to
exactly,
his wife.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
There's a scene when their two hands are there together, one on top of each other. Yeah. And I believe, you know, you could just see the black hand and the white hand. And I believe Whoopi's hand was caressing Dammy's. And my friend was in the room with me and said, this is someone I've known for so long time. People said, I don't know where she begins, where you end. This person was very important to me.
Uh-huh.
And they yelled out, I hate that. And I there's a card. There's a card in that we are taught that just shows up when we're born. Our parents don't really sit us down and tell us about this card.
Of course not.
It starts with an R. It's an R card.
Yeah.
A race card.
Right,
and we are taught without anybody telling us, now don't use it just in case of emergencies, because there's a shame attached to that card.
Exactly.
It's all by meritocracy. Don't use
the card. Exactly.
And this person said it again. They're looking, there's the black hand and the white hand. And they said, I hate that.
Hmm.
I went into a denial. I went into some dissonance. I thought, I don't know what to do. I thought, well, what's going on here? But I knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And this, I said it again. What is it you hate? That, the black hand and the white hand.
Together.
Disgusted this person.
Yeah. Ooh.
Literally, viscerally, they were disgusted.
Mm.
And I wasn't quite awake yet, but I'll tell you, if you allow the micros and the macros to work in your favor, you will wake up.
Yeah.
You will wake up. You really will. And I remember I was so shocked and so in pain. I started to get angry. I wasn't even angry because I was so shocked, but I made myself angry and I frappéed that person's manhood.
Yeah, yeah.
With my kids. And I recognize that something was going on. Another time in my life, someone said to me, someone again I was very close to, if all of the black people took a shower and scrubbed themselves, and you blindfold me, and you put their hands in front of me and I smell it, and they did that, I would still know that they're black.
Oh my God.
You know, I don't know if whoever watched Flintstones, but you know the music when it goes, da-da-da-da-da? I didn't know what to do. I thought, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And as this went on in my life, a family member that's white that said, you know, she had an issue with Jamaicans, not knowing our history, not knowing anything.
Not knowing anything. Yeah.
And said, you know what? Well, she thought she knew, and that's the unfortunate part of it.
Yeah.
She said, you know, they would make terrible slaves. And if she hears this, because hopefully I can get this podcast out as well. But if she hears this, I don't have an apology. But the reality is that she kept saying this over a time period in my life. In my affiliation with her, I'd hear her say this. They're terrible slaves.
Yeah. Wow.
And it really concerned me after a while, because now we can jump on and we could do the Black Lives Matter. We could jump on. But I say, unless we are healing ourselves,
right,
we don't have that real strength that it needs, that truth in us that'll set people free. Exactly. We don't have it.
Exactly.
So when I recognize something in myself, what is it about me that people think they can say that about me?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's how I present myself.
I think it's also how you carry yourself. How you carry yourself determines a lot of the opposite people's actions, attitudes, or comments towards you.
Absolutely.
And I was taught, I was raised in a Catholic convent school, and all the nuns were white, and very, very strict, very religious, very hypocritical. Incidentally, at 15, I excommunicated myself from the Catholic Church because I finally woke up regarding that.
Yeah.
But the fact, the certain things that they did give me, and that was to respect yourself and how to carry yourself. And that later on carried me over into my dance career, because dance demands a lot from you physiologically, physically, mentally, emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout my life as an adult, it has always been the way I lift myself, how I carry myself. And people sometimes, many times people will say they're intimidated, you know, because of how I present myself, which I don't care if that's your problem, you know. But once you addressed me or come at me as a decent human being, you'll see I am not intimidating unless I have to be. But it's how we as a people of color, African-Americans, or any people of color, how we look to ourselves, how we respect, how we love ourselves. And that is not an outward love. That's an inward love of who you are.
Yes.
And your appreciation of who you are. And it's not easy to accomplish. To be honest with you, I was that way all my life.
Mm-hmm.
But it 10 years ago, it took me to another direction to really see my value, to really see my self-worth.
Yes.
And to really carry myself in a way that made people take a look at me and want to approach me, to be kind, to be helpful, just to see me in a different, they saw me differently than I had realized.
Yes.
And someone said one day, I asked, why are they being so, you know, these people, this person, they're being so kind, they're offering this, they're presenting this. And my friend said, they're seeing you from the inside. And that woke me up, because I had been striving for about 10 years to learn a great deal about me and to understand how to deal with myself in situations. But when they told me that, it just made me see this is how we all need to see. And that is not easy to come by.
Absolutely,
because we've been so downtrodden of not seeing the value in ourselves as a race of people. And we are a hell of a race of people. We are
strong.
We are such great hustlers in life, you know, and I mean in a positive way. We have so much to offer, but the downtroddenness has done its job as a cultural group of people, especially in this country.
Yes.
Whereas we, you know, we change everything about us to be accepted. We don't see anything in us that's worth being loved by ourselves, by each other.
Yes.
So from what you were saying, it's so true how you present yourself.
And absolutely.
When people come at you, when ignorance comes at you in such a fashion to make a statement like that, you know, you will always be Jamaican because of whatever mm-hmm. that whatever the ignorance is of that person,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and how they have been conditioned themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to come back in a way that, not that you spit on them, but verbally you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because
absolutely.
You have to put them in a place where you see that they have no value either. And the only value they can have is to bring your value down.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And I always, at one of the forums, a lady came to me and she was so moved. Of course, everybody's in the room. We have psychiatrists, you know, we have social workers and different people show up from all walks of life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's married to white, and she came to me sidebar and said, you know, I want my children to marry black.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's great, because it really got to her. Even though, you know, people have there's diversities of being awoke, you know, and we have, right? So she was aware of a lot of things, but double consciousness just gave her a real insight to what things really are, what things the reality.
Right.
So I said, you know, yes, that is great. But if you have you've got a good husband, they love their father, they have every right to marry somebody that typifies him, and they just may.
Right.
But I said to her, you know, in this culture right here, maybe 2%. They're in white culture maybe 90-something percent of the time. You have a few percent left.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You need to change everything in your home. But
right.
do it, you know, with wisdom. Put on some of the, because I have a resource list I hand to people when we do the forums. Put something on. You might think they're not listening. You'd be surprised. We need to deprogram the situation in our homes.
Right.
And I remember Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, I admire lately. I turned her off for about, I don't know, 6 months at least, because I wasn't ready. And then when I came back to her, I couldn't get enough of this woman.
Yeah.
And without apology, we have to start listening to, you know, she was there to teach our people how to think. And, you know, her and I don't agree on everything. I didn't ever met her. But I mean, a lot of the people in my PowerPoint, I always say I don't agree with everything they're saying. But some of them are the best teachers I have ever had.
Of course. And we don't have to agree with everything. It's just something that affect you in such a way that you learn and receive from them. You know, that's just important.
Yes. And you know what she said that turned me off? I'll never forget. She said, go home and fill your life with color. Fill your life with color. I turned her off for months. Mm. And then I came back and I realized what she was saying. Mm. And I think sometimes we have to be logical about this, right?
Mm. Very logical.
You came in, I came here in 72, little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if on the television, I have no role models, even in Barbados, come on now, who owns the networks, right?
Right.
If
right.
I don't see enough role models, I will assimilate. It is inevitable that I will be subliminally seduced. So first of all, in terms of, you know, don't push back, but look at it logically. And it's like there's a race and you've done 3 laps ahead of me.
Yeah.
And then you're coming up behind me and you're saying, you better start because you got 3 laps to do and you still have to compete to the finish.
Yeah. Right.
Unless the world freezes, I will never catch up.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is irrelevant.
Exactly. It's so irrelevant. You know, there's so much that's been pushed back. Well, basically, we don't know who we are.
Yes.
And that's the real pushback. Because, like you said, the subliminal assimilation, you can't help. You know, you can't help if you have no role models, if you don't see yourself or you see your people. And if you don't know who some of the greatest inventors were, in yes. this country, in society.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
You know what I mean?
So, and you know.
Yeah, you cannot help it. So you will always be behind. And that's where the pain is. The yes. pain is seeing how great we are, but yet we're asleep and many of us don't care to wake up because we're getting the quick fix, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that quick fix can be taken away from you just like that. You know, and you
and it's little things, right? Like I grew up with my father because everybody would acquiesce to Sandra because the people would say, you always knew how to speak, you know, you always know yeah. how to. And I didn't think about that. Right.
Yeah.
But your gifting
yeah.
sometimes lie. It's been going through your life. And then all of a sudden I'm speaking. Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, my father would say something in our lives, tribute to him. No offense, Dad. But he would say, speak the Queen's English. Speak the Queen's English. When yeah. I woke up, I thought to myself, as compared to what? You mean the monarchy that yeah. blessed the slave ships?
Right.
Really? So it kind right. of dawned on me right. that, and no blame again, because this is what our parents, our grandparents, right? This is what we are taught. And my locks, that was such an issue when I started my locks, you know?
Right.
It
yeah.
wasn't, it was unspoken, but there was, it was clearly, oh, my mother would be like, you know, your father's not going to like that. And my father and I love him dearly. We're also, I think we're good friends. And at that time I could care less. I was just being me and I didn't know what that meant.
Right.
They were commercial.
Right.
Because I was still sleeping. So it really was a commercial locks, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I get you. I get you.
And but then,
it wasn't
yeah.
they couldn't help it. It was what was beaten into them.
Yes, Charlotte. That's yeah. the reality. Like mm-hmm. this is what they were taught. You're not gonna get a job with that. And that's the truth.
Right.
You know, there was a show on television when we, in Barbados, we'd watch. I don't remember if you remember, was it Julia Baker? She was a nurse. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, yes. Yes, the movie. I just saw her last night on a program. Yes,
really?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Beautiful lady. Beautiful
absolutely. Lady. But you think we can get those parts if we go with our hair, our beautiful hair full of melanin? Are we going to get those roles? No, you got to press that down and put on your white gloves.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially at that time.
Exactly.
Right.
It seems though right now to break into that in regards to the hair, it seems a lot of our women have fought against that, and in some states they have outlawed that statement or whatever it is that there can be no more racism against how we wear our hair. You know, mm-hmm. this is in a couple of states, but a lot of us have come to the point of realizing, you know, we've got the best hair there is. We can do so much with it, for one. But the thing is, God gave us that hair for a reason.
Oh, you know, it protects us in ways we probably don't know.
Exactly. So, you know, the assimilation of what we've gone through as far as, you know, straightening the hair, wearing this and wearing that, and just totally not realizing, not waking up to the fact that we are very special people.
Like
you said, you know, Julia, of course, she was quaffed down, you know, to do any role at that time, you know.
And, sure.
You know, so, but a lot of, and you're going to still have to deal with that. And you
Definitely.
Know what? To me, for people to be so intimidated by that, by our hair, it really shows you the greater inferiority that they feel that they have. You know, with the bulliness of saying that there's something wrong with you. If you're so concerned, if you're so confident with how you are and how you look, why do you have to shun, put down disgrace and harm somebody else because of how they look? You know, and a lot, you know, a lot goes into inferiority, feeling that. But this is the only way I can feel better is I step on you.
You know, a friend of mine who is a therapist from Eritrea, she said, you know, because she's a brown skin girl again now, but she said, you know, we brown black people, we would need mulatto people. We would need no therapists or psychologists or psychiatrists if we had a true community. because I love it. Because I'll tell you, immediately when Dr. Francis Creswell-Zing said, go home and fill your life with color, mm-hmm. I was ready and something resonated because I was awake. I was getting up from a long sleep. And I went, oh, my gosh, it's logical.
You know? Yes, right.
It makes sense. You Isn't don't it? Have to have a degree in, you know, African studies or anything. This makes sense. So I recognize, I started listening to people like Dr. Niam Akbar, psychologist, Amos Wilson, and I started to just give me, I need to learn. And these are my tutors. Yeah. These are my tutors. I'm not saying I'm not going to take education from anybody in our white construct, but I certainly would from the dominant group because I can learn a lot.
Exactly.
But I certainly, when it comes to my culture, my people, the way I should think as a Black woman,
right.
I will certainly, the default button now for me in my learning about me is right. Dr. Francis Creswell-Zing, Amos Wilson, these people. Yeah, Niam Akbar, absolutely. Right.
When we finish, could you email me her name, text her name to me or email me her name?
Dr. Wilson? Yes.
Certainly. Yes, thank you so much.
Right here on paper. Okay.
No, okay. Yes, but the thing is, we're so unaccustomed to having mentors. You know, as foster parents, my husband and I, we, in our home, we have pictures of different eras of our people. A beautiful picture of an elderly couple sitting at the table. And this was during the time, I'm assuming, Jim Crow, because of the way they dress and just the look on their face. Beautiful couple, elderly couple. And you see them, it's a painting, they're counting money.
Mm.
You know, it's so beautiful to look at, you know.
Wow.
But we have, and that teaches our children. Well, we have everything that we have is on a wall is African-American. Whether it's the Last Supper or just two boys, little boys standing by the river holding hands, you know, examining the river. All these things are so necessary as far as like the doctor said, put color in your home, change that because it helps our kids when they come to us. It helps them to see we are everywhere too. You know, and many children don't have that background in their homes. Many children will have a background. Some will want to go to church and they will ask, why isn't Jesus on your wall? Well, we do have a Jesus in the other room who looks like you, you know, and they're shown the picture of the Last Supper with all the African disciples, apostles, and Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But we don't have enough of that. To me, I've always felt, which seems sort of unreal, to have information and have it to have all sorts of information printed on paper and taking up into an airplane, going up into an airplane and having it thrown out of the airplane so that people can catch it, grab it, and see what it is they need to see. I mean, you know.
That sounds great.
You know, it's something I've felt for so long because especially over in our areas where we're more or less communed, our communities,
right.
You know, just to give, to show, to give something, to be able to wake up, to realize, to look at this, to read this, to show this, because of course, you don't get it through other sources. And even though we have like Minister Farrakhan, who I love to listen to, you know, he has his manner of trying to help us to wake up. But, you know, that's a very few and you're not getting to the whole nation of African Americans in America, you know.
Right.
You know, it needs to come from sources that are hitting you left and right, you know.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
from all over. And that airplane issue is something that I've just felt, you know, for so many years, would be to be able to go up and just throw all these papers out so that they could fall and people would grab them and have something to look at, something to read.
Oh, my goodness. Don't give it away. That might be a short movie. Sounds amazing. Like,
you know
what? I could visualize it, actually.
It is. Yeah. It's to help. It's to help because we will never get it. And we will never get in any proximity to beating the other racers if we don't see where we need to start racing within ourselves, you know,
right.
coming together to get to this point where we both race, but we're doing it for a purpose, and that's to bring all of us to into the race, you know.
Mm.
But it's a journey. It's a journey.
It is. And it takes a lot of repetition, because I always say to people, we have people that will repeat. We've had, oh my goodness, we had a gentleman come 5 times to double consciousness, another lady, and people come usually 2 times.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The thing is, there's so much here. It's an 8-hour day. We do an hour lunch. People go and have their lunch, and we have 2 50-minute breaks. And now we're, like I said, this Sunday, we're doing it on Zoom. We're going to do the 8 hours, but only 2 hours. It's going for 4 Sundays. So every Sunday for 4 Sundays, we're going to do 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
But, and I never went on, Facebook for me was just a little thing I did once in a while, but now I kind of just pushed it. I've pushed this out there because, as people know that are called to do this work, whatever capacity you're in, you know when you're feeling driven, especially now.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time to just jump in. It's like double dutch. Jump in.
Exactly.
Make sure that you get in there, especially if you feel they get to know that thing in you that's God-given, that was given to you to do.
You have a responsibility.
Right?
You certainly do. You know what? I would like to take this time for you to repeat the double consciousness, the program that you're producing that's going to be on 4 Sundays. Could you repeat that, please, so our audience can hear that and possibly write down the information? Could you repeat that, please?
Certainly. It is, first of all, the website will have the link right there for you if you wanted to register Eventbrite. And so it's double with 2 B's, doubleconsciousness.com. Right? So doubleconsciousness.com will get you to the website, and you can register right there with the link. The link is right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, the event is starting this Sunday. It's not too late. I'm so grateful that, you know, it seems like it'll be 30 of us or 25 of us or something like that, which is lovely. We started doing it late, but we asked people, we were going to put a cap on it because the information is so thick and heavy that you'd be surprised. People, I had a lady just drop down on the floor, just weeping. We've had people, you know, we have clinicians in the room for as well that just happened to come and are there. And by default, people, you know, they need someone just to say, it's okay. What you're feeling is great. Let it go. It is fine. And that's okay. We can do this.
Definitely.
And what's so beautiful, I'm going to give you the details more in a minute, is that when I see people that I used to look at, my people, and look at them doing things and criticize them, you know, with my overly assimilated self.
Right.
When I see these people in the room, I walk around going, what's wrong with these people? Right?
Yeah.
Because I'm all assimilated in my life, and I'm looking at going, what's wrong with these people? Never realizing I am those people.
Exactly.
I am those people, you know. And so
we're all in the same boat.
Right? So I remember just thinking about this and just thinking in double conscious when we do the how important it is for me to tell people. This is like going on my 4th year that I woke up from a long sleep, you know, and I feel like, oh my goodness, can you rewind it, Father, and give me another opportunity to do it earlier? But I'm feeling this thing where I know time is running out in life. Look at where we are. Okay.
Right.
It's a crazy place.
Exactly.
But this is the time to do this now because, and when I'm in the room with my people, there's a joy. We honor our men because there's so much that we go over about our men. Why they're being dehumanized by our very women, and everybody had a hard time. But there's a way in which if you destroy our men, you destroy the family.
Okay. Miss Sandra, hold that topic right there because I want to get into that.
Absolutely.
But I would like, if you don't mind, I would like to, in regards to your workshop, I would like to read from one of the speakers who made a comment about your double consciousness. If you don't mind, I would just like to read his opinion. And it states, Ms. Sandra McKechnie's presentation on double consciousness is an important journey into the historical and present day reality of the Black community. Sandra's enthusiasm for healing within her people holds no punches and delves deep into the dark underbelly of our collective past to highlight the systemic problems which persist today. As a white male of privilege, double consciousness continued to wake me up to the barriers faced by my Black brothers and sisters and armed me as a social worker with tools of understanding to assist in becoming an ally in the fight against racism and discrimination. Could I tell the gentleman's name?
Oh, he's absolutely has no problem with that.
Okay, his name was Mr. Dale Thompson.
Yes.
So it goes so, it fits so well with what we're talking about, with what you're trying to do as far as awake us, to bring us to the awareness of what we are, how we need to see the world, ourselves first. And when we see ourselves first, then the world can fall into place wherever.
Yes,
but it's being able to see who we are. But I really appreciated that write-up regarding his comments, because when they have the opportunity to really try to get a picture of what we have been dealing with, they can't really, because they've never done it.
Yeah.
But, and I think because of this pathetic, the sad death of George Floyd has brought not them, but the rest of the world to see the real picture of how the evil has been for centuries to people of color, particularly the Africans. So by the fact that it's coming from someone who is white, who has worked in a setting that has been assimilated, basically, and he's assimilated as well. But the fact that he has had the opportunity to hear you, to be there and to understand where you're working from.
Yes, absolutely. And he's tremendous. He backs me 100%. And even in terms of the issue of allies, I'm reading an article that's fascinating, and I think people should look at this by Catherine Pugh. I think that's how it says. There's no such thing as a white ally. And I always say to people, if you want to, I'm saying now because I was saying it to myself, because it's such an amazing article, and there are people pushing back against it. And of course, all this stuff is controversial. But I put it like this to people. If there's a gentleman I follow, love him. He was also he was mentor to Dr. Francis Cresswell Singh, Dr. Neely Fuller. And he says there's 9 areas of activity that affect our daily lives. We're specifically talking to our people, but everyone can take this. 9 areas of activity that affect our daily lives, ourselves, our family, and our community. Entertainment, 3 E's, entertainment, education, economics, labor and law, politics, sex, war, and religion. And there's the entertainment, in other words, is saying, what are you doing out there in that culture?
Right.
What are you doing with your entertainment? What are you doing with your economics? What are you doing with your black dollars that affects you, your community, your family, right? What are you doing with your education? And what are you studying? So it puts the onus on us, you know, to really, and the issue of allies is, you know, I'll give an example. There's a gentleman by the name of James Reeb that did a walk to Selma. We were talking about this the other night.
Yes.
And he was bludgeoned to death when he finished that march, coming out of a restaurant, white man.
Mm.
He was bludgeoned to death by a group of white people because his hands were dirty with us.
Yeah.
And they let him die. They could have saved him if he went to the white hospital.
Yeah.
But we did not have the resources, of course. They're 300 years ahead.
Yeah. Yes.
So we did not have what it took to save his life. And to me, that's an ally. He didn't get up one morning. I love black people. I love me some black people.
Yeah,
but he just knew this is wrong. He was doing the work outside of Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
And to me, that would be an ally. I don't want to feel like I always have to roll out the red carpet of empathy because now I've come to you with something. And now I have to, you know, I have to take a deep breath to figure out how am I going to share this with you?
Right.
You know, because you can get offended. And I have to, you know, your fragility's in my way.
Yeah.
So when I read this article by this lovely, my sister Catherine, there's no such thing as white allies. I hear where she's coming from. Again, I will not sort of justify, because ally is just a word. Dr. Nian Akbar, Amos Wilson, and our ancestors, our forefathers, didn't use all these words.
Right.
The point is, we don't want to feel, again, like we're macroed and microed, because now we have to go all out to try and get you to understand where we're coming from.
Where we've been coming from.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So do a 101. You can do it. You can do a 101 and figure out what this looks like if you really are a so-called ally.
Exactly. I like the term, the expression of the nine lives situations that govern, that really govern our lives, you know? Mm. And it's like our being accountable for that. What do we do for that? What about that? But also, if you could go back to, oh my gosh, time is going.
I know,
if
the details, right? The details. Sorry.
No. I love it. I love you for how you are. I love you for how much you have to offer. I love it. And as our conversation was the other day, it was wonderful because it's like, ooh, this lady has so much. Will I be able to keep up? But I love you because I love to be educated. I love to learn, and I also love to give. So I'm very grateful and gracious of you. Now, I would like if you could go back to the topic that we had discussed earlier on how our men are looked at and how.
Don't forget to let me finish the details about the. They can actually go online. They can go to the site and get that, and they can be in touch with me by email, doubleconsciousness@gmail.com.
Okay, great.
They can be in touch with me.
Go ahead.
So one thing that we do in the forums is very important to us, okay, is to have our men stand up, and we honor them. Okay, so here's the thing. Double consciousness, everybody, you know, there's a scale of the families expanded in different ways, binary, non-binary, people are transitioning, there's gay and lesbian relationships, there's, you know, homosexual, so forth. There's on this binary, so that's fine. Right. Now, for the purposes of double consciousness, when we came onto this via the slave ships, okay, we came with our warriors. We might have had a few more mummies, but we had a family unit.
Right.
And I think that sometimes we think this is what we have always known. And I can understand that, of course, because this is pretty much where we've been assimilated. Right. And this is what we've known. But for the purposes of double consciousness, our men, okay, so take note, our men were and still are our warriors. It might not look that way because their black fragility may come out sometimes in gunfire or false accusation, right? The judicial system is not for them. So they will set them up, and they have for a long time, and they will pull them off the streets like the emancipation, their so-called emancipation in the States after 1685 until the Second World War. Droves of black men being taken away for years and taken into the mines and different, all this period, it's about 80 years, for things they did not do. Right. So I ask people to think about this. How do you know what you're hearing in the front news is accurate? Yeah. How do you know? Right? Am I saying people aren't doing things wrong? Sure. People are fed up a little bit. Right. So, and I'm not saying that it's right. I am saying that if you understand where we're coming from, then you can be that ally. Right. And you can really have empathy. Exactly. So we honor our men because our sisters went through capital H, capital E, capital L, capital L. Yes, we did.
Right.
But what they have done, they've tried to turn us against each other. And they did things like back in the day, back in slavery, they're going to sodomize our men. They're going to put them in the community in front of you and your children.
Exactly.
They'll tie our men one leg to the horse and another leg to a horse, beat that horse. And literally they're ripping our men apart.
Exactly.
In front of their children and their family.
Exactly.
So where do our women lie in this? Our women now realize, you know, they're in trauma. We are traumatized.
Very much so.
And we, intergenerationally, we are still traumatized.
Right, right.
So we've ripped my husband apart. What do? I've got to protect my children.
My boy, especially.
My boys. And I will stand. And Massa's saying, oh, look at little Kunta. Look at little Kunta. He picking cotton. Look at him. He look good. He look, he's doing so well. Wow. And Mama's going to look at that child and say, no, you crazy? He's stupid. I gotta lick him in his head every morning to get up. Oh no, he's terrible. Oh my goodness. If you don't, you know, he got to, no, he's not doing good at all. Why is she saying that?
Yeah.
She doesn't want him to get sold. She doesn't want him to get killed.
Right.
So she is going to inadvertently.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
She is going to do this to him, emasculate him in this very loving way.
Yes, I know it.
And she's going to protect her girls, and she's going to put her girls out. And this happened. Mm-hmm. This is what happened. We have to, and the children, the girls are put up front now. It's almost like they're put up front to protect our men. So now you've got a woman that's traumatized. She's independent of her husband. Right. And she does not mean to sort of, you know, put a distance or a denial between him and her. Mm-hmm. But she knows he can't help her.
Right. I know it. So she knows that.
Right. So she's independent of her husband, but who is she dependent on?
Right.
Right. That's the issue there.
Yes.
This is why I honor our men, because I don't think people get it.
No,
right?
They
dehumanize them historically, and look where we are today.
They don't get it. They don't get it. And of course, they're not taught. We're not taught at all in any school system. We're not taught in our homes because we're so distracted with so much other stuff, so much other junk. But this is totally untaught of as far as why women are like they are today, because they didn't have their own men, because their men were being, like you stated, were being ripped apart in front of them, which intimidated her.
Absolutely.
It intimidated her. You'd better not try to get close to him.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. So, emotionally, you know,
It's terrifying. I'm sure you've read, or are you familiar with the story, the How to Make a Slave?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, years and years ago, just before the internet became what it is, I discovered that, and I made many copies, but Miss Sandra, it has been. I'm so grateful for you to be here. It has been wonderful. And my listeners, I hope you take the information that Miss Sandra gave you as far as being called, contacting her website, doubleconsciousness.com. There's so much to learn and to appreciate and to enjoy you, who you are. And I want to thank Miss Sandra for being here. And I'm so grateful. And at another time, we can come together.
Sure.
Because,
that'd be great.
It's so wonderful. And I would like to just do a quick push for myself. I have a book that is at Barnes & Noble. The book came out the latter part of last year. It is called The Travels of a Cheetah, The Dancing Feline. The Travels of a Cheetah, The Dancing Feline. You can go on my website. The website is cheetahblack.com. That is spelled CHEETAH, black, BLACK, one word, .com. And you will have the opportunity to see a lot of my background and my information. And you can go into it and email me if you like. My email is on there. And at this time, I would like to thank my listeners. I appreciate their being here, because it is a wonderful opportunity for me, for all of us, for my guests, to communicate with each other in ways, to help us all in ways, in many ways. I would like to thank Miss Sandra very much. So again, because of her wonderful background, her wonderful life and experience, and what she is doing today, helping to bring awareness so that we all can wake up and love and appreciate who we are. And I thank you, my listeners, for being here. And I am most grateful for your presence at this time. I would like to thank everyone and hope and wish everyone to have a blessed, blessed day. Thank you, and I will see you, talk to you in 2 weeks. Thank you and good day.